またおはようって言って、また夢を見せて、今日も元気で過ごせたらいいよね。こんなに単純で当たり前なことが、本当は一番見失いがちだからね。目を開けたまま見る夢、知らない明日へ運ぶメリーゴーランド。君と肩を組んで、君と手を繋いで、恋人だったり友達でいたいから、おはようって言って、また夢を見せて、自然なその生き方でいいからさ。
We're back, we're going to take on 318 and 319 before anything else horrible happens. And 318, first off, I was upset because I lost, basically.
Can I just laugh about that?
Haven't you already laughed enough?
I laughed on Twitter.
You laughed just now. Like, I didn't want this chapter. I really didn't. I did not want to see them die. I thought that would have been too much, especially with the emotional impact of the last chapter. Like, it could really stopped right there and you get all of the same emotions. But no, he decided that he was going to completely milk us dry. So this chapter, I commented on Twitter about the... I understand the style choice, but I also commented on the laziness of this chapter. It's quite a few pages with just darkness, because it's from Kamugi's point of view.
Yeah, you weren't the only one that mentioned it like that too, because I was reading like other people's opinions just to see what they thought, and people were like, "Oh man, that's so lazy! Like, that's like Bleach status. He's like doing like."
Yeah.
I was like, "Geez, man, you don't get what the hell he's going for." But the moment I saw the first page and I saw what was happening, I knew what was gonna happen. And I was like, "Oh man!" I started laughing. Like, I had to just give it a second to be like, "Okay." Started like reading, and it was just. I think it actually helped,
by the
way. Let's
get the tissues ready.
Like, one thing that's kind of interesting about this conversation
is,
like, after everything,
this chapter,
basically, the king is confirmed for bitch status. Like, he's obviously, like, even with all of his bravado and everything before, he's obviously afraid of death. And it starts off with them still going over their moves from the match, 4-4-1 Hyo, 6-5-1 Kiba, 2-7-2 Shinobi Arata, and then there's silence. And then King asks, you know, "Kamugi, are you still there?" And she replies, "Yes, I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere." Which is, you know, whatever, sweet. So, 4-5-1 Chujo, silence is checkmate, and then the King asks again, "Kamugi, are you there?" And she says, yes, I'm here. Now another game, because you lost that one. He goes again, "Kamugi," says, yes, what is it? In the end, he says he couldn't win against her even once, and she chastises him, you know, "What are you saying? We just really started." And he says, you know, "You're right. 1-5-1 Sui, 9-5-1 Sui," and there's silence. "Kamugi, are you there?" Jesus, it's like the fourth time. And he's like, yeah, he probably figures that she's doing the same thing. She's
clingy,
pretty quiet.
Okay.
I think he's falling in and out of.
We're back. We're going to take on 318 and 319 before anything else horrible happens. And 318, first off, I was upset because.
With the honorific. And he says, you know, "I'm just a bit tired. I think I'll sleep just a little bit, okay?" And he says, "Do you think you could hold on to my hand?" And I was just like, in the back of my mind, as sad as this all is, I was like, "You honestly, you are a bitch."
Yep.
And he asks again, "Kamugi."
Because he wants to have the person that he fell in love with hold his hand as he's about to die.
It's just like, if he had like that kind of personality the whole time, it wouldn't be so like jarring. But like, this dude was like, "I don't need anybody, I could fuck you up," all kinds of, you know, he was badass and strong. And then at the very end, he's just I guess just as weak as anybody else would be when they're dying.
Right. And that's the thing that I loved about it, because it's like it showed that he, in the end, was vulnerable like everybody else.
Yes, you know, Kumugi, are you there? And she says, I'm listening. He says, I guess it's still her. I understand like this, right? I guess holding his hand because she can't see it. So he says, I'll be awake soon, okay? I'm like, no, you won't. He says,
who are you trying to kid?
Until then, would you stay by my side? And she replies, I will not leave. I will stay with you forever. And I just noticed that the speech bubbles are different. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And yes, again. Meanwhile, reminding you that he's supposed to be asleep at this point. Kumugi, she says, yes, what is it? And he says, thank you. And she replies, the pleasure is mine. He says, at the end, yes, would you call my name? She says, good night. And you see the picture I did not want to see. This is what I didn't want in my life.
That's the thing that made it so, like, the artistic style so awesome. It's just like, you see black this whole entire time, and all out of nowhere, you see this amazing two page spread of this, and you're just like, holy, like, it just hits you.
In his excellent realistic style.
Right. Like, the realistic style that you were talking about earlier is just, like, out of nowhere, just hits you, and you're like, oh, wait, excuse me while I go cry real quick.
It's like, the king is, his head is sort of pillowed in her lap, and she's cradling his head. Their hands are interlocked together on his chest, and he seems pretty still. And, like, looking at it now, I can't help but, like, giggle at his other hand. It looks very insecty, for lack of a better word. And she looks like she's kind of, I guess, smiling down at him. And she replies on the next page, which is just as detailed in terms of art style. And she looks like she has tears in her eyes. And she says that I'll be going soon too. And then, you know, he completely disrupts that feeling with the narration that says, during the selection process, a total of 478,594 civilians and 12,905 soldiers perished. And after awakening from Pufu's hypnotism, because you remember he had all of the citizens of the country basically paralyzed in that courtyard, says after awaking from that hypnotism, the number of civilians who died was 46,613. Both the Republic of Gorto and the country of Neo-Green Life were temporarily taken over by international peace-preserving organizations, the truly war-torn countries. Combined between both countries, the 500,000 survivors were treated as refugees. The three remaining countries of the Commonwealth of Mitain accepted the conditions that the assets of former East Gorto would be distributed equally to each of them, and they would be given joint control of the land. On the other hand, so that the now barren land of NGL would not become a new spark, the organizations proposed to be designated as a permanent nature preserve, and it was approved by international parliament. All power of jurisdiction and such over the nature preserve were entrusted to the Hunter organization. So that's their big cover-up. And
they came out winning.
Yep. And then we get the final speech from Natero. It says, basically, I'm Natero. I'm quitting as chairman. Good luck from here. The next chairman will be decided by election. My condition for voting from all of the hunters, if the voter turnout is less than 95%, the election will be invalid and a re-election will have to be held. The details, like the schedule and the method of votes, I'd leave it to everyone in the Junishin to decide. The achievement difficulty will be D, I think. Junishin is the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Yes, it's the zodiac.
And he says, I'm counting on all of you, be in good health. And the last page is the 12, is it 12 of them?
Yeah,
five, six.
No, it's 11.
Except
right?
One.
Yeah, the 11 of them.
Yeah, there's one missing. Yeah, there's one missing, and we know.
And I questioned last week why they were dressed up like animals. I had not noticed the translator note that it was the 12 signs of the zodiac, but now that I know that, it makes perfect sense.
Yep.
That's the end of chapter 318.
And thoughts? I mean, I know we already kind of said that, but about this part, like, let's pretend we don't know what happened yet. what'd you guys think about that? I mean, clearly that was the end of the arc. I know that we've talked about that being.
We said it was the end for like three chapters in a row, but that's definitely the end of that arc.
That was definitely the end.
The end.
We get introduced to the backs of all these characters, who are clearly all new people.
Except one.
Kind of, except for one. We don't know yet. Although we have made assumptions based on certain panels and how, like I think I sent you guys that picture where it had the person that was walking away when there was emphasis on the faux pas, or the faux piece, sorry. Yeah. On that individual, and then the individual wearing the same outfit in this spread over in the left hand corner.
Obviously Jin.
So, right, obviously Jin. But it was very interesting that out of nowhere, you know, we're introduced to these new hunters, or this new organization, I guess, of 12 or Zodiac members. I'm kind of wondering why they're waited to be introduced now, as opposed to having them come into the arc or the ant arc.
Because they could have been.
Yeah, they could have just destroyed the ants. It seems.
Yeah.
If all 12 of them showed up.
Are on the same level as Jin.
Right. So, I mean, I'm liking that we're back in the city again. We're back in modern times. We're no longer in a sort of third world country aspect of things.
Super hippie land. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I do have the, that kind of, when new characters are introduced, kind of the jitters, I guess, because that can be sometimes good, that can be sometimes bad, but these guys all look badass, so I'm all about it.
Yeah, I believe my original thoughts were like, yay, it's new arc time. You know, just crazy people normally means crazy things happening, so.
So, 319 starts off with a drawing of the Zodiac animals, and it describes that the Hunter Zodiac members are 12 people, that the chairman recognized their strength, and in emergencies, he leaves the organization to them, and he uses them as sparring partners in their free time. And they all got the name of one of the Zodiacs. And with a few exceptions, they all basically decided to tailor their outward appearance to the Zodiac name they got. Which is stupid, but okay.
Very stupid, because it doesn't seem like it was a mandate.
No, it wasn't an order, they just, whatever. And
they just did it because...
You get this shot of 11 of them. At all looking very much like animals, except the one guy on the left.
Yeah.
And you get each of them talking, and the first is, what's his name? Mizaistone? The ox. Well, I'm going to call him an animal name. Screw their real names.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, we can just call them which animal they are.
So the ox says that, I thought that all of us were here, but the rat still isn't here. And the rabbit replies, the vice chairman is real busy, even at times like these. And the snake follows up, because it's a time like this, isn't it? He's surely putting in an effort to secure votes. And the sheep is crying for the chairman. And the chicken is just like, shut the fuck up. It's hot and it stinks.
Yeah.
And the monkey says even Jin, who's always avoiding his responsibilities, showed up on time. The rat really is scum to not be here. And Jin replies, what do you mean even? I'll kill you, monkey. And the monkey taunts back, you know, just try, you idiot. And the dragon says, I'm not satisfied. Why did the chairman call on all of us? The tiger replied.
Oh, yep. By the way, I was going to say that we forgot to mention that Jin is the boar.
Yeah, I just didn't call it because he doesn't care, obviously.
Right, right.
He's one of the exceptions, of course.
Him and the rat, which is revealed, I think, on the next page. The tiger replies, you know, I agree. Amarawa and Nov... too important for this. The dragon wanted to go hunting. The tiger, it seems, is above this method of work. The dog has a weird way of talking, I guess.
Yeah, I get confused. Because I wasn't sure what the hell. Like, I'm obviously going to reread it when the other translation comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just very odd. Just, like, she says it backwards, it seems.
Yeah, it's kind of like, at tiger, at dragon.
Like,
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
So the horse follows up, says the chairman wanted us to do this whole thing together, so let's wait until we're all at one spot. And just like looking at their designs right now, like I'm favoring the tiger and the ox everyone else looks stupid.
The dragon.
So you don't like the dragon?
No, because he just looks like, he looks like a statue. Like, I don't I don't really like the Oriental dragons much.
Yeah, I thought he was like the most badass look because he had to. I mean, obviously, like it said, he had to.
He make has like his shape. Fire hair and.
Right. Like, he had to change his physical shape to match his code name. Like, where the hell do you go to somebody and be like, I want to look like a dragon? And they're like, okay, I know exactly what you need.
I'm sure there are, like, plastic surgery hunters that could take care of that.
Yeah, plastic surgery hunters.
Oh, I forgot that those are in there, so.
So, in the next, on the next page, looking straight out of Fruits Basket, is Paris Thawn, the rat. And he says, sorry to keep you waiting, I'm really sorry, but handling everything related to East Gorto has been difficult. And you see, like, in a corner of the page, there is the snake chick, and I can't tell who the other person is, but they're both calling him scum.
I believe it's the chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, rooster, or whatever it's supposed to be.
It's one of the other ones over there in that area. I can't really tell.
Scum.
Right.
They clearly don't like him. Yeah, I think it is. No, the chicken's further down, so I think it's the horse, maybe, that also thinks he's scum.
He did come out kind of a dick, yeah, though. On
all
this.
Sparkly and shit.
I mean, he gets worse, but.
Yeah.
And then Beans warned two chapters before, I think, that when he was talking to. Of course, I forgot his name now, but I remembered it last week. When he's talking to him, he says that basically the vice chairman and his people aren't going to be happy with the explanation that we have for the king being dead, which was you leaving it to Palm to determine when he died. And now that we know what their last moments are like, it's kind of fucked up that you're going to mess with that. But Ox orders him to sit down, and he's like, sorry, let me sit. And he's all smiling, and everyone else is just looking at him like, you son of a bitch. So he says, let's get on to business. It's time for the meeting to decide the election of the next chairman. And Tiger is like, wait a second. Who died and made you king?
Right.
And Paris Thawn is like, would you prefer if I wasn't in charge? And the rabbit, who, I don't know what she's doing, playing a video game?
Yeah, she's doing something like a little, it looked like a Game Boy, but...
Like her,
or something, but she's just sitting there talking about
her hunter iPhone.
She's like, don't just butt in when you come late, okay? And I'm not sure if it's her or it's attributed to someone else, but the person yells, shut up, you're gross, just disappear. And it's clear that nobody at the table likes him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought it was a bit forward as well, but you know, what can I do? I am the vice chairman, so it's expected that I would be in charge. And he says, by just a little bit, I'm higher ranked than all of you. I'm an able mediator, and you all want to get this done as quickly as possible. So that's what I thought. In terms of seniority, the one with the most is the dragon. In terms of practical progressive ability, the best is the dog. And he says, you're both obviously more competent than I am. Would you like to lead? I don't know what she's saying. She says he's holding back, but he's harassing them anyway.
Yeah.
And the dragon.
I think we should just have her speak in Twitter from now on.
Right, at rat.
And the
I think, like, read up, like, from, like, up, like, up, down up, I guess. Like, that's how I was reading it, because I think it makes more sense that way.
So, he's giving that Bishonen smile, and the dragon is like, I agree, I don't want to really be in charge. And the monkey says, whatever. You're leading, just keep leading. If you want to be in charge, just say you want to be in charge, you bastard. And he asks, if there's anyone who objects to me moving forward, show your hands. And you see the tiger against the bunny, because you could see the thing being held in the hand. The snake says no, and the chicken says no. So all of the girls except the dog don't like him. And it's 4 against out of 12, so it's a minority. He continues. He says, if any dissatisfaction comes up, we can debate at any time. He'll step down at any time. Now then, I have a proposal. And he says, I'm announcing my candidacy as chairman. How about we skip this election?
Right.
And we see here that this rat is actually a rat bastard.
Yeah, which is... It's,
yeah. This guy.
And it's fitting with the Zodiac story where the rat basically fucked the cat out of being in the Zodiac, and everyone's reaction is like, except Jin for some reason,
because he doesn't care.
Everyone is like, listen, right. You son of a bitch, we will kill you right now.
Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Like, I think this whole time the sheep was mourning the loss of the chairman, so just his crassness was enough to snap him out of that.
Right.
And he replies, like, he looks like he belongs in a different manga.
Mm-hmm.
Because his background is constantly, like, sparkles and sunshine. And everyone else is, like, mad serious. He says, you know, God, you guys are scary. All with this calm smile on his face. Like, wouldn't it be a waste of time and money to hold an election? The result would be obvious, you know? And the snake chick, I guess, attacks him with a snake arm, or just threatens him with one. And she, you know, warns him that not one person here would let you take the position of chairman. And he responds in a really, and I really honestly would love to see this animated. I think this is going to be great. He responds to her, I guess, in a very dismissive way. He says, 11 votes. And he says, altogether, you guys make 11 votes at most. And he says, do you know how many hunters in the association? And he continues that former president Natero was too strong, so he couldn't understand the feelings of the weak. And in that aspect, you all are the same. But I know the pain of being weak, Sparkly. And that's the kind of president I'll be. Bunny replies that those weaklings are becoming slaves by the name Temp Hunters. Just how long have you worn civilian clothes, Kickback Prince? And she replies, Rat replies, no, you misunderstand. Those are pooled funds. It's a system for money to fund the association to grow larger. And clearly they're talking about something that, you know, we haven't been fully clued in on.
Right. It just goes to show once again that the Hunter organization is way more deep than we actually thought of in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot more going on that we are led to believe, and I think this is going to get addressed with this whole issue of choosing the chairman.
Yeah. And I think the ox replies, 18 people. That looks like his shadow. Or Jin's. Because they're both wearing hats. Do you know what number that represents? Yeah, it's the ox. It's the number of hunters that have gone missing in the 3 years since you've become vice chairman. We're pros because we risk our lives, so we can't afford not to have a vigilant grasp of the situation regarding people we trust. Hunters going missing is even more abnormal than dying strange deaths. And by the way, before you took the position, the yearly average was 0.6 people. And the one time it happened in 2 years was comprised of Jin.
Right. When he just wasn't around at all.
It's 10 times that now. And he's accusing Pariston. He says, is there anything you'd like to say to that? And he replies, you know, it's an unfortunate number, it pains my heart, but this fucker is still grinning. But I'm sure if I become president, that number will decrease. And, you know, obviously the ox isn't happy with his reply at all. And Jin, just out of nowhere, says, I'm announcing my candidacy. And he says, I'll carry on the chairman's will. And the other 10 people are just mixed between shock and anger. They're all thinking that I don't want either of them to win. And we don't know why Jin. I mean, Pariston is kind of obvious why we don't want it to be him. And I guess Jin, because he's lazy and laid back and all that. He didn't even shave before he showed up.
No.
Because he's kind of a dick to his son. Apparently,
And everyone.
And everybody knows it.
So Pariston, recognizing that Jin wants to throw his hat in this and get in his way, he says, you know, hey, I've heard about your son. He seems like he's been in trouble, apparently. And Jin's like, yeah, apparently. So he's like, maybe I should go pay him a hospital visit. Jin's like, shrug, sure. That'd make him happy, right? And Pariston continues, like, I guess he's trying to emotionally blackmail him, not realizing that Jin doesn't have emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like,
or the fact that he has no connection. Yeah, doesn't really want to see his son either. Like, he's like, I really don't care. Do what you want to do.
He says, oh, don't you know he's in a critical near-death condition? He's like, I guess I shouldn't. If I went and he died, it would be a waste of time. Especially since, you know, Jin wants Gon to be strong enough to come and meet him. And Jin's just, like, really confidently. He's like, go, motherfucker. Like, Gon won't die no matter what. So Pariston,
because he's my son.
Pariston suddenly changes the subject.
Yeah.
He's like, can I say one thing? And like, Tiger Dude looks like he wants to rip his throat out.
Right.
He's like, maybe we should rethink the process of announcing the candidacy. And the Tiger protests, you know, you're the one who started it in the first place by saying that you were running for candidate. And he says, why don't we decide a way to announce, to cut down on time and money? And they realize that they've basically lost, and they're going to end up doing things his way. And at everyone, the dog says, how about we draw lots? And the monkey's like, what? I'll quit screwing around. The most important responsibility should be chosen by lottery. And he's like, are you scum too? And she says, the 12 of us will be given a paper, except the monkey. I will write down on those papers the voting methods we think would be best, like things that should be fulfilled by everyone, such as everyone must vote, or voter turnout must be at least 95%, except at monkey.
Right.
And she replies, like, that pisses me off most of all. And the monkey is like, this bitch is ignoring me. That pisses me off.
Right.
And she says, the dragon replies, the third party. And the snake says, we'll use beans. And she says, each will have a fair 1/12. That way there'll be no hard feelings, right? And Tiger agrees. And the horse has, I don't know how to describe his smile, but like, he has smiling? Like the...
That's not even
no,
a
but
smile.
His facial expression...
I think this is
his facial
feet.
Expression is like, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
And he says, if the 10 of us think of and write a method that will put Pariston and, if possible, Jin at a disadvantage, it's 5-6 of us. And if we use a system where one puts their, this is the dog thinking, where one puts their name on the vote so we know who voted, Pariston would be an advantage. So a method where we have unsigned votes and divide points among many candidates. Could the slaves somewhat betray us out of fear and guilt? And Pariston says, all right, I agree. I bet I won't lose. So why don't we just write our names on the lots so we know whose suggestions they are? Which is kind of counteracting exactly what the dog was just thinking. Mm. And the first shot is of the Tiger trying to figure out what the kanji was for election, which is kind of weird because they don't even write in kanji, but okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, because they're not even in Japan,
right?
Yeah.
Japan was, like, completely unknown to these people.
So, after they've all written it out, without further ado, they call him Beans, and little, poor, short, horribly shaped guy. They call him in, and he looks sort of intimidated to be in this room full of powerful people. They say that they've put 12 papers in what looks like a basket, take one out, and that'll be the rules for electing the next chairman. And he can't believe they've left the responsibility down to him. And Jin's face looks fucked up in that panel.
Right, it does. I think it's because he had to get squished in there because just to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
It also looks like he has like lipstick on or something.
Yeah.
And he says, "Okay, I'm pulling one out." And the one he chooses is Jin's rule, and it's something amazing. And dickish, like you would expect of him. And it's that all hunters are both candidates and voters.
To become king of the pirates.
Right.
I really hope they vote for someone stupid.
Yeah. And you know why?
Like, I vote for Beans.
Right. Why? Because he's got an awesome bow tie. That's why.
Yep.
And the last subtitle is, it begins, the Farsight and Deep Designs Live Fox Whirling Election Campaign. All right. So that's the next arc, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, we're obviously going to be doing this plus the Rescue Gone thing, I guess, because that's kind of a cool thing. I'm hoping that it's kind of hand-in-hand, like some chapters will be gone and some chapters will be this.
I'd rather, like, go a long time without seeing Gone. It's like, we've had him constantly for so long, because when you think about it, for the Greed Island arc, you had no Kurapika, no Leorio.
Oh, when I meant a Gone thing, I meant like Kurapika, Leorio, and doing taking care of that issue.
Like, I wouldn't mind finding that stuff out in a flashback. It's like, this information seems like it's way more important.
Oh, that's true.
Who's going to be the next lead hunter? And I honestly hope it's someone stupid, because any hunter qualifies.
Yeah, I really hope it's
so. Yeah.
That'd be the best. Or they actually vote for Gon and he's still unconscious.
I don't know, like, Gon has had a lot of influence
I really want
and
Gon.
All of that, but
yeah,
I don't think Gon should be the chairman of the hunters, because that would make it too easy for him to meet his father, and that would, like, that would destroy everything it's built so far, with Jin completely dicking him out of winning constantly. So,
and plus, think of, he doesn't really want that responsibility. He just wants to be a hunter to meet his dad.
Well, I meant the rat manipulating things so it happens, and since he's still the vice chairman, since Gon is knocked out, he can act. He can be the acting president.
That's a good way to look at it. Something, but I hope it. Honestly, fuck it, Hisoka, or one of the actual spiders. I think that would be awesome.
Yes,
because that would fuck Rukia right over.
You're right.
Wouldn't be able to do anything.
See, because like people are like, where the hell is Hisoka this whole entire time? Where the hell are spiders? And I'm just like, you guys don't think that this being a hunter, like, wide search is not going to bring people in? Like, you don't think Hisoka is going to want to be like, you know what, this sounds interesting, let's go check it out? Because if they end up having, because I actually thought before this chapter happened that the way they're going to pick a chairman was going to be via a tournament status.
Yeah, that's
what
I thought it was setting up for.
So like a fight. Right, but now clearly it's just a voting, but it may be a fight, or maybe, I don't even know. But
I mean, with what we have so far with Hunter x Hunter, I wouldn't be surprised if it's some kind of crazy roundabout way.
Well, right, obviously, I mean, when you have one of the ways to become a hunter was to make sushi. I'm not going to say that it has to be a fight. Like, it's not, I don't want this to be like your typical shonen or whatever to get the person elected.
Fight to the death.
Like, to be the Hokage, you don't have to beat everybody else.
I mean, like, they could always run a puppet campaign where basically Jin and Pariston each pick someone that they know they'd be able to manipulate. And Jin doesn't necessarily seem like he wants to be King of the Hunters, because obviously if he did, he wouldn't allow every hunter to be the candidate. He just basically wants Pariston not to be it. And it didn't seem like the other 10 particularly want to be chairman, because they all shirk away from responsibility when he was offering it to them. But they know they don't want Pariston, definitely. And they also don't want Jin. So maybe all 12 of them are going to pick someone to groom towards, you know, being the next chairman. And maybe they have a tournament, because this manga's gone a long time without a tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right. I will say, though, that I do enjoy the rat, Pariston. Like, he came in and he immediately stole the chapter for me.
Yeah.
He just comes
I feel
in
like he's
his,
like a
smile thing.
He's definitely like a less gay Don Flamingo.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say Don Flamingo
flamboyant.
Is gay.
Flamboyant.
He dresses gay. But I mean, right. Flamboyant. There you go. With the boa and everything.
High heels.
But this guy,
and the high heels.
Got, right, and the high heels, and the, I can't remember, and he wears his sunglasses too, but I can't remember like what he actually, like what kind of shirt he actually wears.
His shirt is open. I think it's like,
okay.
He dresses like,
oh right, it's just a boa.
He dresses like he got caught in the 70s. Like he was a gay man caught in the 70s, that's how he dresses. But the Zodiacs themselves, aside from reminding me, of course, of Fruits Basket, they also remind me of the, how the fuck did I forget their name? I just had it in my head.
Boom.
One Piece.
Name the anime. The Seven Warlords.
Oh, Shishibukai. Seven Warlords.
Seven
they
Warlords.
Reminded me of them.
Come on, man.
Kind of, obviously. They all are after an animal as well, even though they're random animals, as opposed to the obvious ones like the Zodiac.
Right.
Very specific here, like the Zodiac.
And they seem like,
right,
with the Seven Warlords, they naturally look like whatever their name is, as opposed to these guys who change their appearance to look like their Zodiac name, which, like we said, is silly, but almost everything in this world is silly, so I guess it's kind of okay.
Yeah, and I definitely enjoy that they're dressed like this, and you know that they're going to be strong and kick your ass. So it's like you're not going to make fun of the dude that looks like a horse for looking like a horse. Because he will kick your ass.
Yes.
But I did like how this chapter brought in this whole entire concept of the slaves. as temporary hunters or whatever the heck they're talking about. Because, like, that whole new thing obviously is going to come into play with them having a vote in this.
Yeah, they're worried about him being able to manipulate them out of guilds, because he's the one who gave them that status into voting for him.
Right.
And, of course, they're also thinking, like he said, there's only 11 of them. Even if they all oppose him, there are, I think, hundreds or thousands of hunters. So they would have to be able to not only convince the hunters to vote against him, but convince all of them to vote for the same person. Because basically, if he has his following, if he gets all of them to vote for him, that's a number that he's always going to have. But just telling other people, hey, don't vote for this guy, isn't enough. They all have to vote for the same person in order for that person to defeat Power Stone. So
yeah, no, so definitely, like where this is headed, it's different.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm excited. Brand new arc. Let's have it.
It's about time.
Yeah, well, like you said, it was 10 years, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
For the better part of the century, or the decade, or whatever. I'm sort of, not going to say mad, but disappointed that the other hunters that, not the Zodiac people, but, God, what was the guy's name? Like, Knuckle and Shoot and all those people. Like, they didn't get, I guess, invited to this. I mean, obviously, I know because they're not elite people, but it was like, I thought that they were, in my mind, when they first got introduced.
Yeah, because the thing is, what I like about this manga in general is that we're really getting introduced to the world through the eyes of Gon and Killua and Kurapika and Lioriel, and they don't know that much about the way the rest of the world works. So,
yeah, we haven't really seen much anyway.
So we're way behind the curve in terms of, like, the people that turn the world and stuff like that. We occasionally get information like we did in 318, where the narrator is summing up, you know, everything that happened in East Gortho and NGL, and the way that the other governments in the area decided, you know, let's keep this whole thing hush-hush, let's leave this devastated part up to the hunter organization so no one can fight over it. And just the hunter organization having it is basically a sign to the remaining Chimera ants that you could just live in this area quietly and we'll let you all go.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that Morale and Nov were probably invited to the meeting, but their efforts are focused on Gon right now.
Yeah, because they were mentioned by the tiger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that wraps up 318, 319. There's one last thing we're going to take care of, and that is an interesting email from Jester Till. He emailed us earlier just listening to the first episode, and then after he got caught up with the currently released ones, he emailed us again. And his email says, hello again, listen to all four podcasts now, and since you addressed all the stuff I brought up in my first mail, I guess I'll write some more. Quite enjoyed your discussion of the Chimera arc. I'm continually baffled by people who complain about Hunter x Hunter not being more like Dragon Ball Z when it was never like that in the first place. So hearing people talk about that arc without whining about why Gon couldn't just punch the king in the face was a real joy. And I usually don't listen to any podcasts that are over an hour long, but I made it all the way through your 3 2-hour marathons without being bored or annoyed even once, which was nice. And it made sense. Yeah. It made sense to good focus on the king. That made it easier for people new to the story to get the gist of what was going on, without having to explain all the baggage the established characters like Gon and Killua were bringing with them. Still, while I enjoyed all the new characters in this arc, I don't think I've ever disliked or been bored by any new creation of Togashi's. The most memorable moments in this arc for me still belong to Kill and Gon. Chapter 275, Promise, comes to mind. You mentioned the scene where Gon confronts Pito, but I don't think you had time to touch on half the stuff that's going on there. Basically, the scene takes all that was left of Gon's innocence and completely destroys it in the most cruel way imaginable. Putting a character like Gon, who's the personification of all of those jump values, in a situation like this was a really gutsy thing to do, in my opinion. It almost pushed him, as you pointed out yourself, in the role of the bad guy, and there didn't really seem like any way out of it for him. So when he started crying about how unfair it all was, I really felt almost incredibly sorry for him, until he turned on Killua. I think he said something like, "Must be nice, Killua, to be so cool like that, since this is of no concern to you." And I have to admit, right there, I went to beat the shit out of Gon too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why when Killua said to him about how he better apologize, he's gonna make him apologize. I think it was one of like the reasons why, because Killua was like, you know, he'd been there doing all that stuff
and keeping Gon alive.
Right, and he did that shit, and he pulled that. And I mean, obviously we didn't go too much into detail about this because we just covered the king, right? And we just kind of graced through it, and then we started focusing on the new chapters. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really cover every single thing that happened in the
arc.
In the arc itself. But I do agree with what he said about how at that point it was, well, I don't know about what he said about watching said Mother Teresa headbutt a kitten. I thought that was hilarious, by the way. I did not feel that it was that intense, but it was. I do like his metaphor there.
He says that I went from feeling heartbroken for him to hating his guts in less than a second. I mean, seriously, after all Killua did for him in this arc, seriously? Look at Killua's face on the next page. Gone, you little douchebag. No, really, I could have slapped him. Would have broken my hand in 5 places, but still would have slapped him. Anyway, just saying, that one line shocked me way more than that little Sangoku growth hormone he pulled a few chapters later. So yeah, that was my most memorable Chimera arc moment. Just read the last few chapters. Seems you guys got that final game you were hoping for. And overall, I'm very happy with it. They seem to be teasing a who will be the new chairman competition, but really, I'm just happy it's not stopping here, and I'll be fine with whatever direction we'll be taking it in. As long as it involves the Fab Four reuniting. I believe you mean Fab Five, sir.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, I'll leave it here. I'll let you guys check out the rest of your fan mail. As for criticism, well, don't take this the wrong way, but even though I can feel the love and dedication coming through loud and clear, I sometimes get the impression that you guys sound a little bored and annoyed with it all. Kind of like you're recording this on Monday morning while suffering from the mother of all hangovers. Could just be me. I'm told I'm annoyingly chirpy. And to be honest, like, with every episode as it goes on, like, you could hear us get more and more tired. And that's not necessarily the material's fault or that we don't want to talk about it. It does get progressively later, especially when you consider that we start recording at night. So being Eastern Standard Time, it gets very late, even though it's not late for Diego. Bastard.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bastard.
It's only like 10 o'clock over here, but still, I'm sorry. I can't help that I live on the different West Coast. But if
as
I
far
could,
as myself...
That, right.
Yeah, like as far as myself, I've... definitely attempted to adjust. I every time we record now, I chug like an energy drink, and I just eat like half my dinner, so I don't have the itis. So
right,
I have lights on all throughout the house, so you know, I feel, you know, daytime.
Yeah, when I read his criticism, I actually thought that maybe it's because we cover a lot of material.
Yeah,
per
I think
session.
That.
Like, we go through a whole volume.
Yeah.
We might have to
but
start
But I think now
it.
That we have...
Yeah.
Right, well, now that we have the anime recap to do as well, because remember before we didn't really have that to take care of, I think we could do, like, maybe a chapter or two, maybe 3 from the past, do the current one, and then the anime recap, and then that should be good, because that way we're not, like, reading the whole entire volume. And it seems that sometimes when we have a lot of material to cover, like, we're constantly on here. Because it does, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it feels like I am just, like, talking for a while.
I know the feeling.
And it kind of feels like, oh, am I taking too long to go over this, or am I talking too much?
Yeah. Because as much as we want to cover, I mean, I want to cover panel by panel just to make sure that people are listening along and they get the gist of everything that's happening in the story. I feel like at that point, if we do that for everything, it becomes way too much, and hence why we have our 2 to 3 hour marathons.
Yep.
Which, by the way, once again, congrats for getting through those, because
sometimes... Good job, champ.
Right, yeah.
So he leaves off with, as for other stuff you could talk about, well, how about the musicals and the play? Heck, the character song CD is pretty funny too. Yes, it is. it is hilarious and sad and terrifying and all sorts of things. And he closes with, "Whatever you guys do, I'll be checking out number 5. Thanks again and all the best. Cheers, Tom."
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily aware that there was a play until you posted it, or the musical,
yeah,
whatever the heck it was.
One of them.
Me either.
And I saw it, and I was creeped the fuck out.
It's magnificent.
Shit gave me nightmares.
Like, we knew about
Shit gave
the...
gave me nightmares. I could not imagine that happening.
We knew about the plays from back when we still had the anime club, because we watched Hunter x Hunter, and in searching for it, you could see people talking about the play, but it was very difficult to actually find it. And I think at one point, I located both of them, and I had them on disc, and we watched part of it. I don't think we finished. It just was hilarious because they were played by the voice actors, which I find funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs, the character songs are terrible, but fun. They can't sing, but it's awesome.
I wonder if they'll do that with this new series. I mean,
if it's as popular, they'll spawn musicals, because basically all of the big Jump stuff. Bleach had musicals, Naruto, I think, had them. One Piece, obviously, had them.
Yeah.
So, anyway, since we forgot to sign people off earlier on, so if you didn't notice that we were spoiling everything, we were. You could email us, like Tom, I guess, and Trick did.
Yeah.
At hxhpodcast@gmail.com is the best thing to do if you have a lot to say. And I definitely encourage, do a thought dump. Give us everything that you come up with. It gives us something additional to reply to, and it could give us ideas of how to structure episodes, because we're basically playing this by ear, as you can tell. You can find us on Twitter at hxhpodcast.com. Either me or Diego will answer that Twitter account. And the website is hxhpodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah, to quote, was it Boytech or whatever? We are on it like Batman. He did say that, though. He's like,
he did, he did.
Hunter question, we are on it like Batman. So, because I do have that link to my account, too. So whenever anybody posts anything, like I mentioned, I'm on it. Or I try to answer it as best and quickly as possible as I can. But one thing I forgot to ask you guys about was, I don't know if you guys saw the post that I mentioned about the first episode only getting a 4.4 mm-hmm. rating.
That was only?
Compared to, because it was 4.4. I was comparing that to other series.
Out of 5?
No, it's million. No, well, it's viewers. It's like the equivalent of the Nielsen rating.
Yeah, it's...
Gotcha. All
right. Right. And I was comparing it to other numbers, and it's like, it got as many views as like the last one that I have was like the week of September 12th, between Tamagotchi and Naruto Shippuden. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing compared to what Detective Conan usually gets a lot higher. I know One Piece gets like
Detective
a lot
Conan
higher than
has
that.
600 plus episodes. One Piece has what, 500 plus. Like, they've had years and years to build up their audience, and Hunter x Hunter is just coming back to TV after 10 years being off the air, so people that were watching it then are grown up now. So I don't know how aggressive their marketing has been in the lead up to the show. I know they did some stuff in Jump. I don't know if they did much on TV. So I guess it will, over time, the audience will increase. And then only certain types of anime really do crazy well in the ratings. They don't usually do better than live-action TV. And I've seen quite a few live-action shows I've enjoyed only get, like, 6. So, it depends.
I think at the least, it'll have the help of people waiting for Naruto to come on. They'll check out Hunter x Hunter before. Not that I'm saying that Hunter x Hunter and Naruto have the same viewership, but it'll at least... put the show out there for other people to check out.
They did in the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm also like, it's nice to know that we got a simulcast too. That was great. I mm-hmm. like at the very last possible minute, like I was in San Diego, I'm minding my own fun in Snake World, and all of a sudden I get an update from Crunchyroll telling me that they have Hunter x Hunter, and I was like, what the fuck? Awesome.
Yeah, but this is what we needed to get the show to a wider audience. And I don't know, like, I guess we as fans have to promote it as much as possible to make sure that everyone else that kind of is sort of interested in the genre gets the opportunity to see the show, because it is fantastic, just going by the manga and the previous show. And I had a whole rant set up for people that haven't seen the original series, but I guess I will save that because it's so much time. And hopefully this episode won't be ridiculously long. I know it will be. I'm sorry. It's probably the last time we're going to do all three of these things together. And then, of course, we had two chapters this week. So next week, we're going to just be talking about the anime and the old volumes, most likely. Yeah. Unless it comes out early again.
Unless we get something like this. Right.
Yeah.
I'll be constantly checking, right. Don't worry. Hopefully. Crossing my fingers. So.
Alright, so you guys want to say your goodnights?
Not yet, because I don't have to go to bed yet, but yeah.
Men, goodbye, you bastards.
For podcast.
Right. Alright. See you guys. See you guys till next time.
See you guys.
Thanks for joining us again. Hope you made it to the end of it.
してあげる Tiga.